Hello, everybody. Hi. Hi. It's nice to see you all here. My name is Tim. I'm a member of the congregation, and I'm the janitor here. I clean the church on Fridays and have done so for a few years. The readings were beautiful, Rob. Thank you for choosing them. Grace and I guess God's benevolence regarding how we turn to Him in our in our travails. And I guess I wanted to come, actually I didn't want to share today, at all, because, you know, that's uncomfortable, get in front of this group and bear, you know, some truth in my own struggles. But I think it's important because my path has been troubled, and I was able through fellowship and through God, through a higher power of my understanding, to become steadfast, you know, as the scripture said, which is a noble thing. You know, it's a really comforting thing to have God at work in my life. And I think it's worth sharing, for sure. Yeah, I didn't want to share, and our Bible team, Valeria, was able to inspire me. Say, go on. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say. So, my story is, I'll be brief. I'll try and be brief and not drag on. But I came here in the mid '90s when this was quite a wild city to be living in, and I was undisciplined. You know, alcohol were just a way of life. You know. I was in the publishing business, and I was single and quite eager to become part of this community. So I just did what most people did in my 30s, which is just I partied a lot, went to bars, and I networked, right? I was running a publication, so I did my best to kind of fit in. And before I knew it, I was really sick. With something called alcoholism, and it's unfortunate that I became this way. I don't know if I was born this way, but essentially, I didn't really have the choice not to drink. You know, it was really sad, and I liked to smoke as well. Smoke weed, as the kids call it, grass. So, in the winter of it was 98, I was really ill. I was really sick, and I'd given myself an ulcer in my stomach, and I was dying. I was in the ICU at Hronitz Kralove. Had given myself an ulcer, and all around me were these machines, beep, 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 life support machines. People were dying in that room as I realized it, like, you know, is this really the end for me? You know, it was quite dire. And I was young, but I thought, well, you know, I don't have many options here. And of course, I had a family back in the U.S., and they said, Tim, it might serve you to go to some kind of a facility and to learn about how to live without this impediment that you have. Now, to be fair, everyone in my family had it. It would seem to be kind of a genetic disposition. So, and it was winter, and they were saying, here's a plane ticket. You're going to go to the desert, and you're going to relax and, you know, sit in a jacuzzi. And I thought it was, I thought I'd won the lottery, right? And it turns out that after a month in this facility, I had to really sober. I had to really look at what my life had become, and it was pretty shocking, you know, all the kind of lies that I told, the version of a life that I thought I had was really just a lot of deception and kind of like pain, really, you know. I had had all kinds of unresolved trauma from childhood I hadn't looked at, I didn't even know about. But the drugs and alcohol kind of papered it over and allowed me to 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 exist and be, you know, to cope, I guess, I think is the word we use. We use these coping mechanisms, right? Now, there's healthy ways to cope, and there's unhealthy ways to cope. In my case, I was killing myself. So after a month about a half a year stateside, I was introduced to an outfit called AA, which stands for Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, that is a 12-step fellowship where we use 12 established steps that were, I guess they came out of the post-war 50s America. A couple of people like me got together and decided that if they do these 12 steps, chances are you can abstain from compulsive behavior. So the people in my rehab said, hey, guess what? There's an AA in Prague. Why don't you go join them and see what happens? You know, see if you can stay sober. So, I mean, physically, I'd been saved, you know, by doctors. They'd patched up my ulcers. And spiritually, I was thinking, well, I want to live. You know, I'd like to learn more about this trauma that I've apparently experienced. So I joined AA in 98. And that was pretty amazing experience for me. I got to fellowship like I do here at church. I got to meet all these exciting people that really knew something I didn't, much like you two. Here in my church fellowship, you know, you have something to teach me, and I'm eager to learn. So I'm trying to stay on train of thought here. So I joined this outfit. I had a couple, I don't know, less than a year sobriety, and I was introduced to these steps, these 12 steps. And essentially, what these steps are meant to show me is, well, I am this thing. I am an alcoholic. I have this compulsive disease. There is, with the use of a higher power, that was the words they used, you can be restored to sanity. And I thought, well, that sounds good. Because I'm totally crazy. That sounds great. I want to be sane. And finally, through an inventory, what's called a kind of a thorough moral inventory of my life, I can get to understand what sort of my patterns are. And through the use of this God or higher power, I can be made whole, you know? I can be steadfast, right, as the scripture says. So that sounded doable, right? I'm a go-getter here. So I enlisted somebody in this outfit. They worked me through the 12 steps. And at the very end of that, I was then able to walk someone else through. So it's a cycle, right? It's a cycle. And it's about, I guess, to be successful in this fellowship, it's about, you know, being rigorous, being honest, which I'm told is something the Bible directs us to do. And through these simple processes of surrender is a word we use a lot in my fellowship, surrendering to God or to a higher power, we're able to get insight and guidance and to understand this trauma, this compulsive kind of activities, and then to turn, in essence, to that higher power for guidance and love. So I brought some slides, and just to kind of share with you a little bit the premises behind my 12-step fellowship, and then I'll finish with how this relates to by joining this fellowship. So to begin with, we have something called the Serenity Prayer in AA. And I don't know if everybody can see this here, but it reads, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, that's it. That's the short version. But I found a long version, which relates to the Bible, which I like. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships and pathways to peace, taking as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. So that first, those first four lines there at the beginning, we say that at the beginning of every meeting and the close of every meeting, because really what it alludes to is will, understanding what I can change through courage, through honesty, through behavior, and secondly, to know the difference between what I can change and what I can't, you know, what I need God's help with ultimately. And that's that brings me to faith, which, as we know, as Christians, is never ending. It never ends. I don't know if you all remember Velma, but she used to call me the seeker. Tim, you're the seeker. We had a pastor here named Velma some years back, and I was always jealous of people that were believers because they were kind of like over here, like we believe, and I was like, I'm seeking. I want what you have, you know? And of course, everyone said the same thing. Well, you need to read the Bible. You need to pray. You need to ask to have your faith renewed. And in my case, I need to be sober. I didn't want to rely on compulsive behavior. I wanted to be saved, as we say. I love this term. So I attend Bible study. I actually, for a long time, I did a lot of research with other churches, like, what do they have to offer? What's their message? How can I be helped? But in the end, I stayed with this church. I do service not only as a janitor, but also as, you know, like, Sue just took my job as slide man, but I like the idea of just being here and shaking hands and asking questions and making friends. That to me as a social animal is hugely important, and it is very important in my 12-step fellowship as well. So I wanted to show you a few steps for me that have helped me kind of understand God, understand higher power in my life. The first, we're not going to go through all 12 because I don't have too much time, but the second step, as you can see, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So, like, if you're walking into AA with no religious experience, that's a tall order. Higher power, you know, that is hugely confusing to a non-religious person. And yet our fellowship embraces everybody, you know. All religion, we don't even use the word religion, and God makes the word God makes some people uncomfortable in fellowship. And this fellowship has made the use of the word God for me just very powerful and simple and comforting. The third step reads something similar, made a decision to turn our will, their will, and lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. So, again, this is about ego deflation. Putting my agenda away, being of service, being disciplined, these are all hugely new concepts to alcoholics and drug addicts because we're so willful, you know? I need this thing to fix me, to make me feel okay. But the fact is, once we turn that power over to a God of our understanding, we're empowered, right? We become incredibly less willful and more kind of graceful. Again, to point to the scripture, I love this word, grace. I don't understand it, but I like the idea of allowing God's will to kind of pass through me. And for me, that comes in sponsoring others in my fellowship. So I have three or four gentlemen I work with, and I work the steps with them. I don't always want to do it, but like somebody did it for me. They were there. So the hand is available to the new person that comes in. It's a cycle. It goes around. And the same thing happens here in our Bible study. We have people that know the Bible, that understand the Bible, and they They answer questions for guys like me. They're like, what? Really? Holy Spirit? That's what? Okay. Prophecies? Okay. So it all kind of starts to make sense as I study and I learn more. The 11th step, to fast forward, is about prayer meditations. Also a very powerful step that we're asked to practice. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. So again, this is an active thing that we do in the 12-step fellowship. We pray and we meditate over these things. And it's incredibly powerful activity. Because again, if I'm coming in just undisciplined, with bad habits, with a kind of a corrupt sort of morality, or I don't have any allegiance towards a God of my understanding, none of this makes sense. This is at the end of the 12 steps for good reason. Because I've already given my life over. I've already done an inventory. I've done all these things. And towards the very end, the final slide we don't have is step 12, which is what the leaders of the Bible study do, is we pass the message on. We do service. Our egos are reduced in size somewhat, and we become humble. We become graceful. I'm really glad to get to share this with you today. We have members in our fellowship here that have this problem, and I've been able to speak with them. Mark and Heather, before Eli's parents came, actually he had a lot of training in the recovery sort of community, so it was really great. And actually, when I came, and he was ministering here, I was so happy. I knew this was my place when I met somebody that had this schooling and that had a close connection to higher power, and I was like, okay, where do I sign up? And he's like, okay, well, welcome. And that was it. And that was 2018. You know, that was some years ago. So yeah, with that, I guess we'll move into prayer. There is a prayer that I prepared, which is a third step prayer, which connects very nicely to this idea of giving my will and my life over. Now, this is a prayer I when I work with other people, I require that they memorize it, because it's a very powerful prayer, and it allows, I suppose it allows a higher power to help me. So let me just read it rotely so that maybe we can analyze it. I offer myself, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will. This prayer has saved my life on many occasions. I use it as often as I can. I say it as my eyes close every night, because I need this help. I need this help. I need this guidance. I continue to seek. I continue to ask answers. And in some cases, I look at the life I have now compared to dying in a bed in Hradec Králové in the 90s, and I think, wow. Married, beautiful children, prosperity, lots of unsourced gratitude. And I can only have that life through continued thanks to a God of my understanding. I mean, I didn't do it. It's just that simple. I didn't do this. I became graceful through love of a God that loves me and asks nothing back. So that's my thing. I think Lena's going to help us with the prayer portion. But thank you for allowing me to be of service today. And if any of you don't know me, please get to know me. I'm here every Sunday. My family requires me sometimes to run off, but if I'm in town and I'm healthy, I'm here. Каждый неделя. Lena, can you help us with the prayer? Thank you so much.